people. We have Pastor George Kimber, and he will be our speaker today. Pastor George is our church planter of the Hemphill denomination, Hemphill congregation, and that was started back in 1992. So we celebrate that, and thank you so much for that, Pastor George. Also, presiding over the ordinations, we are also pleased to have our Bishop Craig Sider with us today. He's the bishop of the Atlantic and Southeast Conference, and we welcome him. I'm going to turn it over then to Bishop Craig.
Thank you, Carol. It's great to be here on Suit Sunday. I contacted Pastor Greg, and I said, now, you know, I'm in so many different churches. What do I wear? He said, well, you know, Brian and I always wear suits. No, he said, we'll be dressing up today. So I got to dress up this morning, and it's great to be here. But really what I sensed when Pastor George and I were sitting by one another is the spirit of worship in this place. So thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship this morning. As Carol said, we're here to recognize the transfer of Pastor Greg's ordination and then to ordain Pastor Brian. So what does that mean about these two guys up to this point? Does that mean they've kind of been doing second-class ministry, but wait till next week? You know, they'll kind of take it up a notch. Really what it means is this. And perhaps a bit differently for Pastor Greg than for Pastor Brian because he's ordained. But it means that today we're recognizing and confirming God's work in their life to this point. And in a sense, as a congregation, we're setting them apart for ministry. Just a couple thoughts on that. And this really applies to both of these brothers. It's a recognition and an affirmation of God's call in their life. There probably was a point when the Spirit of God stirred in Pastor Greg's life and stirred in Pastor Brian's life, nudging them toward pastoral ministry. In fact, Pastor George may speak to that. And then there came the time when the body of Christ, the church, said, you know what? We see that giftedness too. And so they said to Pastor Greg, we see God's gifts in you. And to Pastor Brian, we see God's call in you. So today we recognize that this isn't just a bunch of people recognizing some things. This is God's call on their lives. It's also recognition of their gifts. Now, you know, because of these two brothers, they're gifted in different ways, but they're both gifted by God for ministry. And so today we really recognize and we affirm God's gifting in their lives. And we say about Pastor Greg, we believe God's gifted you for ministry. And we say about Pastor Brian, we believe that God has gifted you for ministry. So it's a recognition of God's gifting to them. But there's, and maybe this is just as significant today, it's a recognition and an affirmation of their commitment. You know, so many places in society, people start out running fast and then they fade. An ordination is really a way of saying we recognize that you have launched into ministry and you're in this for the long haul. And so we really affirm your commitment to pastoral ministry today. And it's just so significant they do it with you because you're their congregation and their people. So I'm going to ask Pastor Greg and Paula if they would come up. They get a shorter version today. Because really, again, as Carol said, we're transferring Pastor Greg's ordination. We don't ordain him all over again. But I do want to ask them some questions that you know to be true, and they know to be true, but it's good for us to affirm them this morning. And it's this, Pastor Greg, will you be diligent in praying before God, seeking His mind, studying the Scriptures, and seek to model, not only teach, but model the life of Christ as you lead these people? If you do, say, I will.
I will.
And will you seek to be directed and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God in order that as you lead this congregation, it will flow out of the Spirit of God's directive in your own life, if you will say, I will.
I will.
And Paula, as you stand here today with Greg, do you declare your support of him, and I know you do, and the ministry to which God has called him, but really you both as a couple, and will you commit to walk together with him in ministry? If you will, say, I will.
I will.
Now, I'd like us to pray for them as a congregation, and we're going to do it this way. I'm going to ask as a couple if they'll kneel here at the front, and then if the leadership team, along with Pastor Brian and Pastor George, will come and gather around them, and then I'd like to lead us in a prayer. And Jim, can I switch to this mic over here? There. This is the only time that I will be taller than Pastor Greg. I just want you to know that. Okay? Now, I'm praying, but really we're all praying. So will you join me as we pray? Let's pray. Father, the people who hear my voice know it better than I do. But we believe that you have set apart this couple for ministry in the body of Christ. You've stirred in their spirit. You've gifted them for ministry. And they have really given their lives to you. And as we have come to know and love Pastor Greg and Paula, we know that their desire is to lead a spirit-directed life. They want to be led by you as they lead this congregation. And so I pray for them today that more than anything, they'll know your heart and mind. They'll surrender their life, their desires, their ambitions to your lordship and your directives. May they hear from you on an ongoing basis what it means for them as a couple and what it means for Pastor Greg to lead this congregation. God, I pray for their family. I thank you for Matt and I thank you for Jordan, and I pray for them as a foursome that you will protect them and you will guard them, that they will know your pleasure as a family, and that this congregation will encourage them and will protect them as a family. And Lord, you have called Pastor Greg as a pastor to this people, to Hemfield BIC Church. And so I pray, even as I pray for him today, I pray for his journey with this church. And I thank you for their love for him and their courage as a congregation and their desire to make a difference in this community for Christ. And so may this day just again be a confirmation not only of your call on his life, but your call on this congregation to be a difference-making church in this community. We realize that all of this is really a result of your grace. It's you who call and it's you who empower. And so we invite you today to empower this brother and to empower Paula for the ministry that you've called them to. And we commit ourselves today to support them and to stand with them in ministry in impacting people in your name. And we pray it in the name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Amen.
That's great. That was great. And
I saw them through a lot of those things. And just to see how they have grown in the Lord and their children, that's what the church is about, isn't it? It should be a family like that. More, I wish we had more family like that in the church. I'm honored to be here today, if I can adjust these to tall people like Greg. I was thinking today, you know, as I sat here, there's a clock right down here on the pew, front pew. And I'm reminded in my years at Messiah College, we used to have our chapel in the Grantham Church. And many people didn't know this, but on the pulpit there were three lights, a green, a yellow, and a red. And someone would sit at the side of the pulpit over there and give you the signal to go, and you'd preach, and then they'd turn on the yellow to make sure you know you're getting to the end, and then the red would go on. I'm not kidding you. Did I see Dorothy Gish here this morning? Dorothy? You remember that? Don't you? She's trying to hide her age. But the reason for that was we used it for chapel, and they didn't want the chapel to run over because we had classes and so forth. So I'm not going to pay any attention to that. There's no lights up here, okay? But I want you to know I'm very honored here. I want you to know it's my great joy to bear witness of God's call on your life, Brian, and to be part of the ordination today. This is an exciting day that's been many years in the making. And I followed you through. I remember visiting your home when you came to Hempfield. You were considering entering Hempfield, and we had a long theological discussion in your home. And I left going, you know, we'll never get them. But they came, and it was a wonderful time. And what they were discussing, how we stood on the Word of God and doctrine and ministry, that was important to them. And I think it shouldn't be important to all who come to the church. Then I remember the sensing of God's calling on your ministry, and I began to encourage you in many different ways. I remember how you began to serve and take leadership in this church right from the beginning. And it was eventually they began a process towards your credentialing in the Brethren in Christ as you begin to take core courses and things. It took quite a while to do that. I remember you struggled with that, being a working man and a family man and visit the church, and it wasn't easy to do. But you followed through with that, and that gave me a sense, yes, God is in this man's life because he's pursuing the call that's there. And I remember how proud I was when I was part of the examining committee when you defended your doctrinal position and your call to ministry, and you passed in flying colors, and I was so proud of that. And so I've followed you along this. So I believe that you were designed to lead. I really believe that. I believe you were designed to be a spiritual leader and a shepherd under the authority of Christ and the direction of the Holy Spirit. I believe that. And so, Brian, as you now stand before God and the validation of your ministry and being ordained by him, I would like to admonish you in a few matters. That's the green light on now. First of all, and these are things you already know, but I think we always have to be reaffirmed in these things. First of all, I admonish you to keep your calling in focus all the time. A calling isn't just one moment. The calling follows you all the days of your life. And you always have to keep that in focus. Ephesians 4:1 says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And it's interesting, that word worthy means having the same weight. And I thought, what? That seems kind of odd. Why would it say it that way? But what Paul was saying here, I want you to, your conduct will weigh the same as your calling. If that's not needed in ministry today, I don't know what is. That your conduct will be equal to your calling. And remember that God's gifts and callings are irrevocable. Now, this was said in Romans 11 when it was talking about Israel, but the verse says, for God's gifts and his call are revocable. This does not only apply to the gifts and the calling of Israel, "For to every individual whom God calls and gives gifts to, God does not change his mind like he makes a mistake. Men may fail him, but he cannot fulfill such calling in them if they don't come to repentance." If they're the ones who fail. God will never fail. His call is always there. And such callings are with us today. And when they come to repentance, God holds them to their original obligation to obey him. That's why I believe in restoration of ministers who may fail. And certainly, we need to recognize that. And the assurance of your calling will keep you stable in troubled times. I say that because there will be times when you'll face circumstances that cause you to doubt and question your call. Even Billy Graham had that experience many times. And we thought, Billy Graham? Yes. Because there are so many things that flood you in terms of this. And you will doubt your and question your call sometimes. I used to tell my students who were desiring to enter ministry, if you are not sure you are called, don't go in the ministry. Make sure you're called. If you're not sure, don't attempt to do it. And you need to be prepared to know that the ministry is a life of interruptions. A life of interruptions. It's a 24/7 for pastors. And that's hard on a lot of people. A lot of people want the glory of ministry, but they don't want the things that interrupt them in those things. So God's call comes in various ways, in which Craig kind of pointed to. How do we know the call of God? Well, sometimes it's hard to establish that. And I don't know how many times people say, how do I know when I'm called? And I just have three basic things. A strong impulse of the Holy Spirit through prayer and the Word of God. Now, the word impulse isn't the best word for it, but the idea there's a prompting, there's an impulse that comes to you, but it doesn't come just out of your head. It comes by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And when those two are in combination, you will begin to know God is calling you, because he will lead you by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit at that time. Then it is the discernment of fellow believers in the body of Christ and leaders that surround you and know you. My call came to fruition when members of my church began to recognize the what God was doing in my life. And I thought, I would never be a minister. I don't feel that. But then little by little, I began to feel that impulse. And then their discernment of that for me, and I had to go with that for a while. And then I had this deep desire to serve God and the church, and an increased burden for the loss. And when you put all three of those together, that's where the call comes. And the same Holy Spirit that called you will give you assurance along the way. And I remember how many times I wanted to give up, many, many times. But God always led me to remember my call. I can see, even when I'm talking to you, in my mind's eye, the time I knelt at the altar and reaffirmed my call to God when I was ready to give up. And I've been 55 years in the ministry. This is my 55th year. I'm still ready to go. Anybody know a church that wants an 81-year-old man? But then, Brian, check your motives and solicit the counsel of wisdom of other seasoned pastors and spiritual leaders on your way. You're not a lone ranger in this. And there's many pastors that need to join together in this. We can be deceived and misled many times by our emotional feelings and ego. I was enamored with the ministry when I entered into Bible school. I saw the glory of ministry. Wow! And I won't give you all the details of it. Some of you may have heard this before. I was part of a denomination. They had a Bible school, and then it was a large a temple type of thing. It was 5,000 people, and it was part of the church of the denomination and the Bible school. And I was going to work one day, and I was running late, and I wanted to meet the trolley car. It was a trolley car that went in front, and I used to work part time down in Los Angeles, so. I thought, well, I'll cut through there. The door was open in the back. Now, there was no service or anything going on. And when I walked through that door, it brought me out on the platform. I'd never been on that platform before, and then I saw seats for 5,000 people. And I said, wow, I forgot why I came through there for. And I sat down in the pulpit chair, and I sat there, and I said, and I waited in my imagination, and now we give you Reverend G.P. Kimber. I'm not kidding. I got up in the chair, and I walked towards the pulpit. And on the back of the pulpit, God is my witness, on the back of this pulpit in gold letters were, "We would see Jesus." And I fell to my knees. And the voice of the Spirit said to me, "They don't want to see G.P. Kimber, they want to see me." And to this day, that has been my object. Every time I get behind the pulpit, those letters come out to me. "We would see Jesus." That's my purpose here. That's the purpose of ministry. I better not get too excited here. But my life verse has been this. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's the pastor's message. And then I admonish you to make preaching the Word of God your highest priority. I want to repeat that. I want you to make preaching the Word of God your highest priority. Preaching the Word of God is not an option, it's an imperative. It's not a choice you make. It is an imperative that you preach the Word of God. Paul says, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by the light of, in the light of His coming and His kingdom, herald and preach the Word of God." Paul placed the highest authority on preaching the Word. Because he said, you know, you need to preach the Word because you're dealing with the words that are God breath given by His inspiration, God breathed rather, by His inspiration and is profitable for instruction, reproof, conviction of sin, and correction of error, and discipline and obedience, and for training in righteousness that is in the Holy Living in the conformity to God's will and thought, purpose and action. So that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Does that sound like the Word of God's important? That's it. We must give it the highest authority. Preaching of the Word of God today is being compromised in many circles. For the Scripture says, "For the time is coming when people will not tolerate or endure sound and wholesome instruction, but having itching ears for something pleasing and delightful and comfortable for them." And we are there. "They will gather one teacher after another to considerable number, chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the error they hold, and will turn aside from hearing the truth and wander off into myths and man-made actions, fictions. As for you, be calm and cool and steady and accept and suffer unflinchingly every hardship. Do the work of an evangelist, fully performed all the duties of your ministry." And if you don't think people aren't looking for the easy way, you are not looking at your world. The Scriptures and the preaching of the Word of God does not make it easy for you. It does not always make you comfortable. And many of our contemporary churches are falling prey to the subtlety of Satan to dumb down. That's a new word in our culture now, dumb down. You understand dumb down? Okay. Dumb down the Word of God in order not to offend people or make them uncomfortable. Now, I may be, you know, going to stir some feathers here, but the seeker-sensitive services are sometimes too sensitive in the attempt to make an entrance into the church easier and more comfortable. Now, the term sounds good, but I think there's a danger here. The danger is allowing the culture to influence the church rather than the church influence the culture. And the preaching of the Word of God will bring conviction, reveal the righteousness of God, the judgment of God, as well as His grace and His mercy and forgiveness. They must get uncomfortable before they get comfortable. I don't care how much contemporary things you have, but if all it does is make people comfortable, you are on the wrong track. You need to be uncomfortable first. And then. I have no fear. See, I don't have a pulpit anywhere. But that's been a drive in my own heart. And I'm just as contemporary as anybody. I'm 55 years, you know, I've seen a lot of changes in the church. And I like some of the things that are happening in the church, but I think sometimes we get so carried away in not wanting to offend people and make them comfortable. Brian, don't do that. Don't do that. I forget who I'm preaching to this morning. And then lastly, you said amen. Amen. Lastly, I want you to admonish you to love God and His church. Love God and His church. Make an appointment to be with God the beginning of every day and keep it. Hear me on this, Brian. You must do this because you cannot be a successful pastor on your own. You cannot. The decisions you make, the problems people bring to you, asking for your counsel, the sermons you prepare, none of these things can be done by mere human resources. Draw near to Him and He will draw nigh to you. And so you deepen your love and relationship with God and spend time alone with Him. Your ministry must be an outgrowth of your walk with God. Commit to lead your people from your knees. Commit to lead your people from your knees. And I charge you to love His people. That's not always easy. People find a problem in the past sometimes, not able to love the pastor either. It's a two-way street. But I remind you that this was the commission that our risen Lord gave to Peter on the beach that morning when He said to him, take care of My lambs, take care of My sheep. And over the years, members of your flock will come to you for help in lonely times, in desperate times. And when they do, what they'll need most from you will be unconditional love. They will need that most of all, your unconditional love. As a pastor, you have a unique opportunity that no one else has to love and care for people. You'll be walking people through the best of times and the worst of times. Stand with them at their marriage altar. Come to the hospital when they're welcoming babies and when they're sick. You stand with them by the bedside and dying, and stand by them at the grave. And God literally is calling you to care for people all their lives from beginning to end. And the longer you stay in the pastorate, you see that. I went through this in a church I had in Joliet, Illinois. I was so discouraged, and I found out that I just couldn't do anything with this church. Of course, I was blaming them and blaming myself, too, but I blamed them more. I began to look over the congregation, and I saw my congregation in symbols of a question mark, a dollar sign, exclamation point. Some people I didn't know about, you know. Others I could count on. See? And you see, you can't categorize people like that. You can't categorize people in the congregation, which I readily did. And I feel sorry for that at this point. But I remember at that point I was going to a conference. And I went to a seminar, and it was entitled A Pastor and in Relationship to His People. Okay, so I went to the seminar. And this is what the teacher said when he opened up. The reason some of you pastors are having problems, you're looking at your people as dollar signs, exclamation points, and question mark. Do you think that was God speaking to me? And that turned me around in my ministry. And I realized I needed to love people as Christ loves them, unconditionally. In closing, I'd like to read from 1 Peter 5, 1-4. Listen to these words. I warn and counsel the elders among you, that is the pastors and spiritual leaders of the church. Tend and nurture and guide and fold the fold of the flock of God that is your responsibility. Not by coercion or constraint, but willingly, not dishonorably, motivated by advantages and profits belonging to that office, but eagerly and cheerfully, not as arrogant, dictatorial, or overbearing persons, domineering over those you are in charge, of being examples or patterns or models of Christian living to the flock, the congregation. And then, when the chief shepherd is revealed, you will win a conqueror's crown of glory. Ryan, I have confidence and faith that you will make your calling and election sure. I have confidence in that. And may these truths burn in your heart this morning. Shall we pray? Father, I thank you for this hour that has brought us one of your commissioned servants before us. We praise you for Brian's obedience and willingness to accept your will and purpose for his life. We pray this for not only him, but for his family as well. In Jesus' name, amen. I pulled a book from my library, and that's very unlikely I'd ever take a book out of my library and give it away. This is by John MacArthur, a book on leadership. As I read it again, I was very, very stirred by it, and I want to give it as a gift to you, Brian. It has some of my markings in it, but I think you can read around those. And I want you to hear what he said in his end of his introduction here, and this is my prayer for you. My prayer is that you will inspire a kind of leadership that the Apostle Paul exemplified. Bold, uncompromising, faithful, spiritual leadership that inspires people with a hunger to be imitators of Christ. I pray that for you. In Jesus' name. God bless you.
Pastor George, you not only declare truth, you model truth. And thank you for doing it with passion. You can understand why I say to him frequently, I want to be like you when I grow up. But thank you for declaring truth. As I was sitting there, I was reflecting on conversations I had with Pastor Brian about God stirring in him toward ministry. And we're going to talk about that in a moment, but I want to say to those of us who are seated here this morning, as we were meeting in the back to pray, a part of our prayer, part of Pastor Greg's prayer, was for any one of us who are sensing that same stirring in us. So I just want to say to you, as we're talking about pastoral ministry this morning, if you've been sensing the nudging of God's Spirit in you, I encourage you to talk to one of your pastors, and they will help you understand it, but don't ignore it and don't put it aside, because it was that initial stirring in Pastor Brian that has really brought us to today. He's been obedient at various steps of the journey, and he has demonstrated both the heart and gifts for pastoral ministry. And as we function together as a church family and the Brethren in Christ Church, and he has gone through a process of being able to explain what it means to follow Christ and explain and articulate what it means to be a minister in the Brethren in Christ Church, he has done that, and he has done it well. And so we're really recognizing that today. So I want to ask Brian and then Judy a series of questions, and I'm going to ask you to come as we do that. Brian, why don't you stand right here. There we go. And let me begin with you. Do you trust, Brian, in Jesus Christ as your Savior and acknowledge Him to be your personal Lord and also the Lord of the church?
I do.
Do you believe the Scriptures of the Old and the New Testament are inspired by God, that they are the unique witness to Jesus Christ and they are God's authoritative Word for your life and for your ministry?
Do
you receive and endorse our church's teachings and practice the principles that are taught in Scripture?
I do.
Do you accept the structure and the polity of our church, not as perfect, but as our guide, and are you willing to be guided by them?
I will.
Do you assume the responsibility, as Pastor George just declared, to preach and teach God's Word with boldness and humility, to minister to the needs of people without partiality, without question mark, exclamation point, or dollar sign, and to build up the body of Christ?
I will.
Will you be diligent in prayer? Beginning ministry on your knees, will you seek to model the Christ-like life among the people that you lead?
I will.
Will you seek to be directed and empowered by God's Holy Spirit in order that you will serve them fired up in Christ as you lead?
I will.
And Judy, as you stand here alongside Brian, do you declare your support of him and the ministry to which he has called him, and do you desire to walk together with him as he serves?
I truly do.
We want to pray for them as a couple. And so again, I'm going to ask if you as a couple will kneel here at the front and the leadership team will come. Brian, as we'll recognize in a moment, has just gone through training with the BIC. And so I'm going to ask Dr. Gish if you would come as well, who leads our study program. And let's gather around Brian and Judy and pray for them. Join me as I pray. Father, thank you for all that you have invested in Brian's life and Judy's life, for using everything available to you to stir his heart toward ministry. You have used family, you have used your word, you have used your spirit, you have used pastors, you have used people in the congregation. And in a united voice over time, you have stirred him to commit his life to serving the body of Christ through pastoral ministry. And we're just grateful for that. Just as we've been able to look back on his life through pictures this morning, it's just a reminder that every step along the way, you nudge us. And we acknowledge this morning that you have called Brian to pastoral ministry.
Yes.
And today we set him apart significantly for this task. So more than anything, God, our prayer this morning has been that his heart will reflect your heart. And so through a regular interaction with your word, through a commitment and submission to your spirit, through attentive ears to your promptings, I pray that he will lead as pastor with this unique blend of boldness and humility. Boldness to declare truth, boldness to declare who you are, boldness to declare how you want to rescue people, and humility that it's really not about him, but it's about you. God, I know that's the echo of his heart. And I pray for them as a family, for the five of them. I pray for Ian, Sean, and Seth, and I thank you for their lives. I pray for them as a family, Lord, that you, again, will guard them and protect them from discouragement. I pray that even as Brian gives himself diligently to pastoral ministry, it won't be at the neglect of his family. And so I pray that you'll assist him in guarding time for Judy and for the guys. And I pray that as a five sum, every one of them will give witness to the work of your Spirit in their lives. And as we prayed for Pastor Greg, and I now pray for Pastor Brian, I pray for the relationship with this congregation. It's been this congregation that has nurtured this call in Pastor Brian's life. And I pray now that you'll continue to do great things through this church, through these leaders, and through these people. It is a special morning for us because Pastor George has been here, but we really do believe that the best years for this church are in the future, not in the past.
And so I pray that you will empower Pastor Brian for his unique calling and his unique gifts and his unique place in this church. On this day, all of us who call Hempfield home commit ourselves in a fresh way to being available to you, to be used in the body of Christ for your purposes in the world. You are an awesome God. It's a privilege to worship you. It's a privilege to serve you. And we declare our allegiance to you in the name of Jesus. We pray. And all God's people say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Brian, it is my privilege to declare you an ordained minister in the Brethren in Christ Church in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. God bless you in your ministry.
Thank you.